Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Earlier this week, my friend Pastor Sharon Blizzard compared today's gospel account of the transfiguration of Jesus to a movie preview. She notes how movie trailers are crafted in such a way that they give the audience a hint of the story and the directorial vision of a film in an effort to pull us in, giving us just enough so that we're going to return to the theater in the future. And Sharon points out that our limited human brains can't handle the full production of the fullness of God's glory. On this side of the kingdom, we can only handle just a little preview, but it will keep us focused for now and wanting more. The mountaintop experience is a defining moment for Peter and James and John, and they have a brief encounter, a preview, if you will.
Imagine a world where ordinary fishermen climb a mountain with an extraordinary carpenter's son and find themselves face down and terrified in the presence of Moses, Elijah, and the cosmic Christ.
Yeah, I'd go see that. Maybe. The transfiguration didn't change who Jesus was, not at all. And it doesn't change who Jesus is. But the transfiguration changed the way Peter and James and John saw and understood Jesus. And it became undeniably clear to them that this Jesus of Nazareth was more than just another guy with some provocative things to say. And as the voice from heaven very clearly stated, he is the Son of God. He's the fulfillment of God's law and prophets in the promise of the Messiah. And this glorious episode changes the way Peter and James and John also understood what God was up to. Presumably, it also changed the way they viewed their own work for the rest of their days. And I recently visited the mountaintop where it's believed that the transfiguration took place, and I have to tell you that while the view was beautiful, I cannot say that I witnessed the glory of God on that mountaintop any more than any other mountaintop I've ever visited. I don't even think I got a sneak peek at the kingdom of heaven. But I can totally agree with what my friend Sharon says when she says that we can experience these transfiguration moments in all kinds of places. We just have to pay attention. Now, for the past 25 years or so, I have experienced and witnessed countless mountaintop experiences, transfiguration moments, while working in outdoor ministries, and I've seen many people, young and not so young, gather in community on mountaintops or in other places apart from this increasingly hectic world, and many of those people have gotten a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, or they've seen Jesus in a different light in those places. And contrary to what you might think, our goal at camp is not to create mountaintop experiences. Instead, We're trying to strengthen the church on earth by creating opportunities for our campers to experience God's presence, to experience Christ's love, so that their faith might be strengthened, so that they might leave those places and share the good news. And guided by our camp staff, campers are shown how to live differently than the world teaches them. And we hope that our way is more closely aligned to what Jesus is teaching than perhaps the world teaches. It's also our hope and our prayer that once they've practiced and experienced this kind of kingdom living, they're going to return to their homes and their schools and their congregations ready to show others how to live that way too. Now, I experienced this firsthand myself when at the age of 12, I went to camp for the first time. And my frame of reference for the world at that time was middle school. Yeah. It sounds like some of you have experienced middle school. You know it can be a pretty harsh place. And my middle school, and maybe yours too, had a pecking order. And everyone was keenly aware of where they fell in that order. We were also very aware of the fact of just how difficult it was to raise your status. In middle school, status is a zero-sum game. And so in order for you to maintain your position, you got to knock somebody else who's above you down. It was absolutely critical that you kept those below you, below you. So anyway, I'm going to camp with this frame of reference, And so I have a lot of trepidation because I was doing this new thing all by myself. I wasn't going with a friend. I was going all by myself. And I was so worried, in fact, that I asked my dad to pull over to the side of that long driveway up to camp because I was pretty sure that I was going to throw up. Yeah. But I have to tell you that when we walked up to cabin 6, my counselor, Sally Edling from Schuylkill Haven, greeted me by name. And she told me she was happy to see me, and I believe she meant it. And then I walked through the door of my cabin, and I was greeted by the 7 friendly faces of the other girls in my cabin, and I swear to you, within minutes, I had 7 new best friends. And then I was further blown away that the boys in our group were all so nice and fun. Boys. I had never experienced anything like this. This is not how middle school worked. And then throughout the week, I was continually amazed at how life worked. We traveled, we ate, we played, we swam as a group. Well, everybody else swam. I did not swim because I was not a swimmer. In fact, perhaps the most amazing example that I had for this different way of living came on Monday afternoon when we all walked down to the lake for our swim tests. And I was terrified because I was not a swimmer. But I came from middle school, where you never admit your weaknesses. And evidently, I was also a person of very deep faith, even at a young age, because I waded into that water, hoping and praying that God would bestow on me the gift of swimming when the water got to be too deep. God did not, in fact, grant that prayer request. Instead, I was scooped up by a handsome lifeguard, Eric Phillips, you remember him. I was scooped up by a handsome lifeguard shortly after I began struggling, and he carried me back to shore, thus granting a middle school girl's prayer of a different sort. Anyway, my cabin mates were on the edge of the lake, and they were screaming and calling my name, and I was certain that they were ridiculing me because that's how middle school works. But in fact, I was about to realize that there is something even more humiliating for a middle school girl than a failed swim test. What the girls were yelling at me was that the top of my swimsuit had fallen down catastrophically. It was twice as bad as the most famous world wardrobe malfunction of this century. And in a split second, I knew that my week of camp was over and that the camp director was going to have to call my parents and they were going to have to come and get me because a humiliation of this epic proportion was something that no one could recover from. And we were going to have to move, preferably out of state. But a miracle did happen that day. And I don't know if Sally Edling from Schuylkill Haven or the camp director or the lifeguard had anything to do with it, but no one ever mentioned the failure of my swim test. And no one ever mentioned the failure of my swimsuit. Instead, we continued to go about our week in relative peace and joy, and no one was ever left out, and no one was left behind, and we didn't make fun of or belittle one another. We made decisions as a group. We sang, and we hiked, and we had Bible study, and we worshiped in beautiful outdoor settings. And when we had disagreements, we talked them through until we found a workable solution. And I had never experienced anything like that. And I'm absolutely convinced that that week and seeing the body of Christ in a new light helped me begin to figure out what it was that God was calling me to do with my time on earth. I'd been given a taste of this different way to live, and I had opportunity to practice it, and it emboldened me to go back to middle school with a new perspective on how I could live differently. And I wish that I could tell you that from that day forward, I did not tolerate ridicule of others, and that I was always an ally and a friend to those on the fringes, and that I always controlled my anger and my speech, and that I always spoke the truth in love. But I can't, because I didn't. I failed often, and I continue to fail to live in accordance with Jesus' teachings. I fail often, but not always. Sometimes I do okay. And I'm convinced that this is because I've experienced the transformational power of friendship and acceptance and unconditional love and forgiveness. And for my entire adult life, I have worked to create spaces where everyone is welcomed and included, hopefully bringing about at least a taste and a preview of the kingdom of heaven. So there are two things that I want you to take away from here today. First of all, it is camping weekend, camping Sunday, so I would like you to take away from this that a summer camp church experience has the potential to be a transformative and significant element of faith formation. Because camp is one of the places where we're given space and opportunity to test our Christian wings in an environment that is supportive and encouraging and hopefully a little closer to the way that Jesus taught us to live, where we practice living deeply into relationships and where we can explore who it is that God might be calling us to be. The second thing is that transfiguration experiences don't have to happen on mountaintops. The glorious, shining face of Jesus can be seen all around us if we pay attention. And glimpses of God's glory surround us. We just need to look. So you're getting homework. And you don't have to do it. I'm not going to check your work, but it'd be a good idea. As we move into the season of Lent, and as we turn toward Jerusalem with Jesus and the disciples, I invite you to enter into a season of noticing, of paying attention, and to look for the inbreaking of God's kingdom, and to be aware of the daily glimpses we receive of God's glory. We do this with the kids at camp, by the way. Notice how God is active, and how the Spirit is moving, and how Jesus is shining into our dark world, and then write it down on your calendar or in your journal or keep track of it on your phone, take photos, post them to social media, hashtag Jesus shines. Do whatever works for you. And most importantly, then don't keep all of this shining transfiguration light to yourself. Hide it under a bushel?
No.
Oh, you're so good. Tell others, tell your friends, your family, folks here at Trinity, tell me, I'd love to hear from you, and don't hide this glorious, dazzling, brilliant light. Let it shine. Amen.